Welcome, folks. You are listening to Republic Broadcasting Networker, and I am your guest host. I'm filling in for Jeffrey Bennett here on Edge of Darkness. My name is Maggie Rose, a.k.a. Maggie Rose or Maggie Rose McGrath, for those of you who have been around for a while. I took about a seven-month break while I was running for governor of Oregon, and now that that is concluded, more or less, I am back in the saddle again, and we are back doing broadcasting. Here I am. The other day was my first time with Republic Broadcasting Network, and I want to thank Jeffrey Bennett, a longtime friend of almost three decades, for asking me to fill in for him on Mondays and Fridays. And also from Mike, also, who is the owner and the board engineer, who is the one that takes care of all the behind the scenes that's going on. Now, I, Maggie Rose, would like to let you all know, please, that we are purely listener supported. We really count on your generous donations to keep us on the air. So please, this is a place where you can go to be educated, be inspired, and or be motivated. And sometimes it's good for us to have a little bit of healthy anger, or what we call very healthy fear, because it is that that sometimes motivates human beings. Humans have a tendency to be a little bit lazy at times and think that somebody else can do it, or somebody else can do it better than we. But we all have a part to play in trying to make our country and our world a better place. And I have to tell you right now, I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about how that it really starts at the ground level, at the grassroots. That means in your city, your town, your district, your community, your county. That's where you can start to make a difference, and it can grow out from there. And leaders are not born, they are made. Some people are better leaders than others. And so when you can identify those in your community, try to push your community to not just have 1% of the population doing all the work. That all of you can do something, can bring something to the table to make your community a better place. Now, we all know that's what's been going on for the past few years, has been a continuation of the corruption that has been going on in this country for decades. And as we covered on the show last Monday, we've been talking about how we lost our Constitution basically right after the Civil War. And, of course, we have some people that are in denial of that because they really don't know their history. They haven't studied their history. And you've all heard the saying that if you don't learn from history, history will tend to repeat itself, and not always for the better. So I am strongly encouraging those of you, I don't care if you're 30, if you're 50, if you're 80, go back and look at the history. Don't read the wokeism history that they're trying to create. But actually read the history and start right after the Civil War, and then definitely concentrate on the year 1871. Now, people say, Maggie, what happened in 1871? Well, what happened in 1871 is that's when basically many of the monarchs around the world who wanted to get their hands and clutches into the United States decided to make sure corporations would start running the show. And some of these corporations were actually founded in 1871 and got stronger and more powerful and wealthier on our backs until we are where we are today. This is where many of the young people who are complaining about fascism and about big corporations, they're completely correct about that. But there is the good, the bad, and the ugly in corporations. The corporations give us many of our jobs and give people their livelihoods. But it's when those corporations are losing sight of the people they're supposed to be serving, whether it's the customers they're supposed to be providing something for, or the people that are working for them to turn out that product. Even the corporations need to be kept in check. And that has not been happening. As my friend Juan said not long ago, he said both the Democrat Party and the Republican Party, which includes the GOP, are captured operations. Because we've had people in both the Democrat Party and Republican Party that were about power and control. They were control hungry. They were money hungry. And many of them found ways to find tax loopholes and other ways of being able to purchase into corporations, purchase stock and things to make themselves more wealthy, which meant them more powerful, which meant they had more influence on what is going on in yours and my day-to-day affairs. So again, keep your eye on the big corporations. Many of them are out of control, as we know. And what's happening now is that the very far left liberals, and I want to say some of the Republicans, some of the conservatives, are not our friends. They have reached a point where they really think that they are better than we are. And I will say that this is where I agree with Juan and others, that both the Republican Party, not just the Democrat Party, are captured operations. That is why many of us believe that maybe a three-party or even four-party system would be the best thing. At least have three strong parties, okay? Or even better still, have no party. Because if we didn't have a Republican and a Democrat party, then we wouldn't have people being able to say, okay, we're going to make sure it's money that wins elections, not good leadership, not someone who's had a good track record of serving their town, their city, their community, their county, and working themselves up where they have a proven track record of leadership and putting their community first. Because if you're going to run for public office, whether it's as a state legislature or the U.S. Senate or the U.S. Congress or your county commissioner, you should have a track record of showing that you have been honorable. Unfortunately, we have a lot of county commissioners out there around the country that are unethical and immoral. And we've discovered this over and over again. We have people in both the Republican Party and Democrat Party that are unethical and immoral. And we, the American people, need to stop saying, oh, you can't fight City Hall. What can we do? Shrug your shoulders and say, I'm just too busy trying to raise my kids, trying to support my household. I'm a single parent. I don't have time to go to parent-teacher meetings. I don't have time for this. No, wrong answer. That is why we're in the mess we're in now. It's because over especially the last 30 to 50 years, that has become more and more the attitude. But people are finally beginning to wake up. More and more parents and grandparents and others are trying to go to their school district boards and saying, look, we're not going to put up with this crap anymore. We're not going to put up with this woke mentality and this critical race theory. One of the ladies got up at a hearing in Washington, D.C., and she explained how critical race theory is all about shaming the white children by making them feel like, oh, you are the next up-and-coming white supremacist, and you should be ashamed to have been born white. And you kids that are of color, you should realize that you are always going to be the lesser of the two. You are never going to amount to anything. Now, what good does that do for our children, their self-esteem, their self-confidence? It's going to end up backfiring, but you know, the liberal agenda doesn't care because it's all about power and control and manipulation. That's where they get their jollies. That's where they get their sidekicks. So people need to stand up and say, look at critical race theory. Read behind the lines of what's going on. Words mean things. Words have meaning. And it all depends upon how you put that word in a sentence, how that meaning is going to be taken by the person who's reading it. So when you get up and you have all these textbooks telling children that they should question their sexual orientation, that these are kids who haven't even made it out of second, third, fourth, or fifth grade. They certainly are not in eighth or ninth grade and becoming, going into puberty. They're not having their hormones calling out loudly. Why are we going after kindergarten through third, fourth graders and having them wonder, well, should I be a boy or should I be a girl? Should I question that I was born a boy or question that I was born a girl? People are telling me that I shouldn't feel like a girl, that I shouldn't feel like a boy. This is where these teachers basically should be taken out and fired and told you can never teach again. Your job as a teacher is not to deal with religious, is not to deal with medical, is not to deal with that kind of psychosocial. Your job, why you went to teacher school and college, was to teach academia, math, reading, writing, biology of the sciences, whether it's marine biology or human biology. Your job is to teach civics and leadership. Your job is not as one teacher did in Douglas County, Oregon, pulled a little boy aside who was between kindergarten and third grade and said to him, "Are you a boy or a girl?" Now, I spoke to his mother, and this is how it went. "Are you a boy or you are a girl?" Well, he's embarrassed, right? "Well, I'm a boy. Are you sure you're a boy?" Now he's getting upset. "Well, yeah, I think so. I'm a boy." "Well, do you want to stay a boy?" Folks, this is happening all across our nation. The child goes home. Mom's making dinner. He asked his mother, "Am I a boy or a girl? Am I supposed to be a boy or a girl?" And the mother sits down with him. "Where did you hear this?" "Well, my teacher at school." "Well, do you have certain anatomy below your waist?" I'm not being specific, but you know where I'm going with that. And he gets all really embarrassed as a little tiny child would. "Well, yes, Mom, of course." "Well, then you're a boy." Next day, she calls the school. And the school's telling her, because she really has no choice but to put her kids in public school, in public funded schools, funded by the federal government. Because it seems like only, you know, we all have heard, it seems just like the wealthy people, people that got money, they can put their kids in private school or even private Christian school. And many times, especially if you're a single parent, you have to work to earn a living. There's no way that you can stay home and homeschool your child and make sure your child gets the real education they're supposed to be getting in order to make them successful when they finish high school in 12th grade. Because they don't have to go to college. They don't have to go to university. Young people can be successful, you know, creating, making, or running their own businesses, or co-partnering with someone else running a business, or going to trade school. You don't have to go to college or university to be somebody, to be happy, to be a productive citizen. And you sure don't have to have tens of thousands of dollars in student debt because the schools are constantly raising the tuition. And now to buy one book can cost you anywhere from $100 to $300 per textbook in a junior college or university. Everybody's making money off of us. Everybody's dipping into our pocket. Some young people have to work full-time for a year or two and then quit and go to school for a little while and then quit again and go back to work and then quit and go back to school. Takes them forever to get their AA degree or their bachelor's degree. That's not the way to do it. But they have no choice. Because colleges, universities, and textbook companies are bleeding us financially for our kids to go to college. In fact, what some of them will do is they will turn around and they'll sell a textbook and they'll have it there on the shelf for 2 years. And you have to go to your local college textbook store and you purchase the book, let's say a biology book for $250 or $300. Oh, and there's a workbook that goes with it. That's $195. And you don't make a single mark in that book or in that workbook or textbook. You do everything on paper. And you go to turn it back in at the end of the semester. And where you might have spent $300 or $400 for that textbook and that corresponding workbook, they might give you $40 or $50 for it. Maybe. Even though it's like it was just taken off the shelves and the plastic wrap was just taken off. And then a couple years later, the textbook company says, "Well, we're going to go in there and we're going to change a few words in this chapter. And we're going to rewrite it a little bit to make where the first chapter was all the first chapter. But now part of the first chapter is going to become a second chapter. And we're going to just slightly change the textbook a little bit. And now we're going to tell everybody the other textbook is outdated." And then the teachers are in on the scam too. The teachers know about this. So you take your book back to your college. And your college textbooks company, your college textbook bookstore is working something out with the company. And so they're getting a little bit of money on the side to turn around and resell it to the student that comes and takes the same course you took the semester before, who's taking it this semester. This is something that's been going on for years. And until somebody stands up and says, "We are going to protest en masse," it's going to continue. We won't even talk about what the Ivy League schools are doing to their students. So, folks, what I'm saying to you is people need to get involved. They need to push back and say enough is enough. Now, again, this is the edge of darkness. This is Jeffrey Bennett's show that was Monday through Friday. He is still going to be doing Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays for the next 1 to 2 months, and I will be covering his Mondays and Fridays for him. So I'll be back with you again this Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 Mountain Time, 7 Central Time, and 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Now, there's a bunch of things I told you we're going to be talking about today. And one of the things I'll be talking about near the end of the show, because I've had some people already emailing me that they did not know that I had run for governor. Some people thought that I was living in a state other than Oregon. And yes, I have lived in other states previously during my military career, basic training, Fort Jackson, South Carolina, 1974. I was stationed at Fort Sam Houston, San Antonio, Texas in 74 for my medical training. I went to Korea. I was rerouted from Vietnam to Korea. I was in Korea from 74 to 1976. I was in Monterey, California, Salus Behays Army Hospital from 76 to 78. I've been all over the country. I was stationed both active duty Army, Army Reserve, and National Guard in California and National Guard in Hawaii, as well as some time in Oregon as well. And yes, a few months ago, I was running for governor. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that closer to the end of the show. But this is a program that we're supposed to be trying to educate you. A lot of you have not been able to really get up and be following the news. Some of you don't have TV. Some of you don't collect the newspaper. So we try to give you a little bit of information about a lot of different little things going on. And then I'm encouraging you, if you're listening to the show, you've probably got a computer or a laptop in front of you. But to you, please, to turn around and do some of your own research. It's really, really important that you do that, okay? So I have something here regarding stolen valor. We all know stolen valor is offensive. And one of the questions asked on Heard of the Talk of the Nation many years ago was, but is it criminal? The Stolen Valor Act of 2005 makes it a federal crime to claim unearned military honors. This came from attorney Jonathan Turley, who agreed that stolen valor is offensive. And then he also argued, well, it's constitutionally protected, cannot be criminalized. Not true, folks. For a person to be wearing a medal or a ribbon that they did not earn while they were in service, and even those who never served in the military are running around saying they served in the military, and they're wearing bits and pieces of the uniform, and they're wearing badges and things like that, until someone actually stands up and says, wait a minute, I'm questioning that. Show me your DD-214 from the Army or the Air Force, Marine Corps, or Navy. Show me where you were actually given that medal. Because if that person cannot produce some kind of proof, then you can question whether or not it's stolen valor. And it is a federal crime to be wearing a ribbon, whether it is a good conduct medal, whether it is a Purple Heart, whether it's a bronze or silver star, or anything that you did not actually have given to you by the military or that you did not earn. So, if you've served in the military, if you've earned these honors, then there's places that you can call to share your feelings. Jonathan Turley said that claiming unearned military awards doesn't seem to be criminal, but many people do believe it is. And there was actually a federal law that was passed along those lines, okay? So that is just one of the things. We have a person right now we're looking at that we believe that he's been going to a lot of these military funerals and sometimes even just walking over and taking charge. And then we're finding out later that he did not actually earn them. So there's an investigation going into that right now. We also found out national, this came from NPR, Breonna Taylor's boyfriend has settled the Louisville lawsuits over the shooting. There's also more charges against crypto's Bankman-Fried are piling up. And we also have where Elon Musk has relaunched Twitter Blue, and this subscription will also include check marks. We also found that the U.S. has taken custody of an alleged bomb maker from the 1988 Lockerbie attack. Again, the U.S. has taken custody, this is in the World News, of the alleged bomb maker in the 1988 Lockerbie attack. Right now, what they're doing is they're looking back in history at the interracial and same-sex marriages. You all know that Biden signed a law into effect the other day. There are people out there that are very much against this, and they have very strong religious views. Has nothing to do with spiritual. Being very strongly spiritual and strongly religious are two different things, okay? So people of really strong organized religion ties or very strong religious views have real exception over Biden. And I do not call him president, folks, because I personally question his being our president, legitimate president, definitely. I do not consider what I now know and what I've learned from my research and the experts that I've met and discussed with, and they've given me the discovery, they've given me the evidence. There's no way that 2020 is the way that they're trying to say it was, okay? So with that aside, we have some other things in the news that have come up. It says here, when Biden signed the Respect for Marriage Act, he was saying that this is reflecting his and the country's evolution. The whole country doesn't agree with him on that. But, you know, like I said, everybody has their own opinion, whatever. But it's sad when the majority of the country may not feel that way, but because of a few individuals here and there, that we're going to be saying that we have to give special privileges. No. If two people are married to each other and they love each other, or if they are not married and they live apart from, you know, apart from marriage, we need to respect relationships in general, okay? And nobody should get special privileges because you're married or unmarried, all right? So that is one of the things that some people are finding exception with, or people are being said, look, I run a business, I make wedding cakes, I don't want to make a wedding cake for this couple or that couple, okay? So that's when we start to get into the nitty-gritty, go from the black and the white into the colored or the gray area. And again, it's all, for many people, it's left up to interpretation. Some people are taking the Bible very literal. Other people are saying, no, the Bible is basically our foundation. It's sort of like a primer to show us what the basics are and how we should live in society. Under the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We have in Europe right now, Germany says it's foiled a far-right coup plot. And then also, we have in the news, under health, authorities are urging indoor masking again in major cities as the triple-demic rages. Oh, folks, we're going to get into that in a few minutes, okay? So they're trying to say now they want people to mask in major cities because they say there's a triple-demic that's now raging. In the culture right now at Juilliard School, we are finding out that just recently, former music students are accusing two teachers at Juilliard School of sexual misconduct. And national, we're finding that over half of the car crash victims had drugs or alcohol in their systems. So folks, now you know why on New Year's Eve I don't go out and drive around. I feel that's one of the most dangerous times of the year to do that. In New Zealand, which is around the world, unique cigarette ban may be a model for other countries. And also national in Hawaii, Hawaii's Mauna Loa and Kilauea volcanoes have stopped erupting, say the scientists. Interesting, okay? In the culture, Adam Sandler has won the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. And in Europe, eight people in France are convicted of their roles in a Bastille Day truck attack that killed 86 people. So that is some of the news from around the world. For those people that have been contacting me regarding how can they save their schools. Now, this is something that was picked up in one of the school districts in Oregon. And if you have any questions, I'm going to give you this guy's phone number and you can contact him. It doesn't matter where you live in the nation right now, where you are when you're listening to the show, even though it's broadcasting out of Oregon. This is something that you can do, and you can contact Bob Sullivan at 406-780-0922. That is 406-780-0922, or contact Tracy Sullivan at 480-459-0926. Again, that's Tracy Sullivan, 480-459-0926. And again, co-chair Bob Sullivan at 406-780-0922, or Tracy Sullivan at 480-459-0926. Or you can email her at T like in Tom, I like India, E like Lee, E like F elephant, E like elephant, Sully, S-U-L-L-Y. That's T-L-E-E, Sully, S-U-L-L-Y, at gmail.com. And say that Maggie Rose told you to contact them. This is a great SOS that came out of the conservative parties. Both the Republican Party and the Constitution Party are using this, and it's basically for Save Your School volunteers. Now, you can utilize this same thing that both Sullivan and Bob Sullivan and Tracy came up with. They are husband and wife, and they came up with this as a way to try to save our federally funded public schools and for those private schools that they're pulling the same games as well. Number one, you must regularly attend school board meetings in the district or districts of your choice to observe and report what's going on. That means you go to the school district meeting and you sit in the back and you try to stay quiet and you take notes of everything being said and everything being brought up, including, if you can, write down the name of the person who's speaking. And then you go back to whatever meeting a committee that you've set up with other concerned parents and grandparents and guardians, and share what you learned at the school district meeting so you guys can decide what the next course of action is going to be. So you must, number one, regularly attend school board meetings in the district of your choice to observe and report. It doesn't have to be in the same district, school district you live in. It can be in a school district which is in another county over where your grandkids go to school. Number two, identify who the board members are that do not agree with the mission statement we have regarding our educating our children. Again, number two, identify those board members that do not agree with whatever your mission statement is or what you believe regarding educating the children. Number three, identify potential school board candidates in your district to replace the existing school board members. Again, identify, this is number three, potential school board candidates in your district to replace the existing board members. Number four, promote participation in what, in this county, what they call is their $5 for Freedom program. And you can ask Bob Sullivan and Tracy Sullivan a little bit more about what the $5 for Freedom program is. You can have this. You don't have to be a Republican or a Constitution Party or even a Democrat to do this. It is a program that was started in this one county that I know about, and it seems to be very successful. Find out what the $5 for Freedom is. What people do is everybody donates $5 a month, and then Tracy and Bob can let you know where that money should go to in your particular state or county or district. The mission statement should be dedicated specifically to identifying and acting on opportunities to fundamentally change your school district, county school boards to reflect a moral, classical, and constitutional approach to educating our children. Folks, you know what the moral approach should be. Classical is like the basic academia, leadership, civics, history, biology, science, reading, writing, math. Okay, this is classical education here. So again, dedicated to specifically identifying and acting on opportunities to fundamentally change your school district or your county school boards to reflect a moral, classical, and constitutional approach to educating your children. Very important, okay? All right, so once again, I would like to say that this is Maggie Rose. I am filling in for Jeffrey Bennett, Edge of Darkness. He is going to be still doing Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays shows. I will be doing Mondays and Fridays for the next 1 to 2 months. And I feel very honored and privileged that Jeffrey Bennett has asked me to do this for him so he can take care of some really important family and other matters that have come across his plate. So thank you so much for hanging in there with me on Mondays and Fridays. And again, it's good to be back on the air. I took a 7-month break from radio just recently, running for public office. And basically, I've been doing radio off and on for a good 27 plus years. And that's how I first met Jeffrey Bennett, was we were both doing radio together out of Battle Creek, Michigan, with a totally different network at the time that no longer exists. It was called Republic Radio International. So you're listening right now here, folks, to real news, real talk, real people here on Republic Broadcasting Network, which is hailing you out of Texas, the great state of Texas, folks. Truly supposed to... right now is basically what I would consider the only real republic. I am so sick and tired of hearing people who are even fighting for our natural born freedoms to keep calling it, well, you know, they're attacking our democracy. You know, they're ruining our democracy. No, folks, stop using the word democracy so much. That's what the Democrats do. What they are doing is destroying our republic. And what we need to identify is with critical race theory, they are trying to destroy our republic. This is what the communists want. This is what the Marxists want. This is what the socialists want. Socialists like George Soros, who in my estimation is a real communist, okay? He was not only raised under fascism by his godfather, who had him go to work for the Nazis when he was a teenager, and his job was to help identify other Jewish people like himself so they would be arrested and taken off to the concentration camps. And then his job, when they went in to confiscate the art paintings, the jewelry, the valuables, the antiques that many people in the Jewish communities owned through their hard work, through years of saving and scrimping, then the Nazis would gather it up almost like museum pieces. And George Soros's job was to do the inventory of all the wealth that they absconded when they hauled the Jews away to have them exterminated. George Soros is a monster. And if he was asked before, if you were still 13, 14, 15 years old and you had it to do all over again, would you? And his answer was yes. Just for him, it was a matter of survival. Yeah. Well, I believe that most of the wealth that he's gotten over the last many decades basically is because he's no different now than he was then. What I wanted to bring up to you all is that there is something that just came up recently, and it's very important. We'll be covering this on Monday. So you need to tune in on Monday because this is going to be really important. I'm going to have a recording. I'm going to play for you of a town hall that occurred out of the Washington State and Oregon State VA systems. And there's a new law that just got passed. And it's where now those of you that might have been exposed to Agent Orange, you might have been exposed to all kinds of other toxins will now be able to go in. And the recommendation is you don't just fill out the paper and say, I was in this part of the world at this particular time, or this is what I did. It's also recommended that you go and get yourself screened as well. So I will be giving you all that information on Monday, including phone numbers that you will be able to call. And this will be regarding the toxic exposure screening information that the National Veterans Administration, who believes they are provided now, committed now to providing screening health care and resources to veterans with toxic exposure concerns from their military service. The toxic exposures is defined by law. Generally, there are several types of possible exposures to hazards veterans may have experienced during their military service. Some of those common examples will be open burn pits, airborne hazards, Gulf War-related exposures, Agent Orange, radiation, Camp Lejeune, contaminated water exposure, and other exposures. So, folks, you're going to want to turn in to my show on Monday Jeffrey Bennett's Edge of Darkness, and we will be going over all of this in detail for at least 25 minutes, and I will be giving out websites, phone numbers, all kinds of really great information, including playing a recording that I took at the town hall meeting yesterday that will help answer some of your questions. And then we might even play some of the questions that were asked by some of the veterans out there from Texas, from California, from Washington State, from Idaho, from Oregon. And some of those questions might be very pertinent to what you or a loved one of yours or friend may be experiencing or going through right now. So you do want to tune in to the Jeffrey Bennett's Edge of Darkness show on Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 Mountain, 7 Central, and 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, right here on Republic Broadcasting Network, real news, real talk, and real people. So let's talk about some of the things that I told you Monday we're going to talk. Some technical difficulties there. We apologize. Mike's got me back on the air again. So I guess the part that I'd started to read to you guys was basically not heard by you. So what I'm saying is that we will be covering on Monday on Jeffrey Bennett's show, The Edge of Darkness, where I am guest hosting for him. We'll be covering on Monday regarding toxic exposure screening information coming directly down from the VA, a new law that just got signed not very long ago. And the VA right now, as of the town hall meeting yesterday, said there's a protocol they're putting in place right now, because the VA is committed to providing screening, health care, and resources to veterans with toxic exposure concerns from military service. I will be going over all of that with you on Monday, so please come back. Do not stay away. Come back on Jeffrey Bennett's show, Edge of Darkness. We'll be talking about toxic exposures, open burn pits, airborne hazards, Gulf War-related exposures, Agent Orange, radiation, Camp Lejeune contaminated water exposure, other exposures. But that'll just be one topic, folks. We're not going to take up the whole hour with that, but that will be a very crucial part of Monday's show that I will be bringing to you all. Now, again, you're listening to Republic Broadcast Network out of Texas, real news, real talk, and real people. I am your host, Maggie Rose. I'm filling in for Jeffrey Bennett. We are purely listener-supported. We're asking for your generous donations, please, to help keep us going on the air. I'm Maggie Rose. I'm here to educate you, hopefully to inspire you. Maybe sometimes even some of the information I give you is going to piss you off a bit, and that's okay, because then that, I hope, is to motivate you. We are here to educate, inspire, and motivate, and that is my, I would say that is sort of like, I guess you would call it my middle name, more or less. It's very important that people are involved with what's going on in their nation, and that is one of the things that we need people to understand, is that the fact we can all pull together. It's very important we all work together in order to be able to make a difference in our country, and we have to start at the ground level, folks. You know, the old saying, charity begins at home, right? Okay. Well, the same goes here with what is happening in our country, that we can't solve all the ills that are going on right now in Washington, D.C. Sometimes we can't even deal with the things that are happening here on a state level. But you can start in your county, your townships, your cities. And so I, Maggie Rose, am asking you, please roll up your sleeves, get involved with what's going on. It's very important that we are involved in our communities. You can make a difference. Everybody can make a difference in what is going on in their communities. So what I was going to go over next was, we were talking about thinking engineered famine could never happen. Learn the story of Holodomor as history repeats itself. This is an article by Ethan Huff. It came out September 6th of this year. The article was printed from the genocide.news/2022 engineered famine, the story of the Holodomor. As we are forced to watch the global economy be deconstructed in real time, the surreality of it all is bringing into much clearer view the fact that this is an engineered depopulation phenomenon, including the coming global famine that is already in the works. The powers that be are right now pulling the plug on industrial agriculture, it would seem, but under the guise of saving the planet from climate change, here we go again, what they're really doing is knocking over the dominoes that will eventually lead to mass starvation. This type of thing has all happened before, though on a much smaller scale. The Holodomor, a man-made famine event that occurred in the Ukraine in 1932 through 1933, appears to be making a return amid all the financial and economic chaos that we're now witnessing. As a little history lesson about the Holodomor, at least 3.9 million Ukrainians were deliberately starved to death by the Soviets in the years leading up to World War II. Today, at least 18 countries recognize the Holodomor as a state-sanctioned genocide. What's related? The U.S. government is using American taxpayer money to engineer a famine right here in our own country. Quote, on the surface, the Holodomor was disguised as the need of bread for the cities, amplified by industrialization, explains World Atlas about how the event was framed at the time. Quote, while the need for bread in cities was real, the Holodomor was carried out by the Soviet government as part of the broader Soviet famine that targeted the grain-growing regions of Russia and Kazakhstan from 1931 to 34. This Holodomor, according to World Atlas, was part of a much broader Soviet campaign of repression and persecution against Ukrainian identity, aimed at destroying any seeds of independence and cultural autonomy in Ukraine following the Ukrainian-Soviet War, in which the Ukraine had briefly established itself as an independent state from 1917 to 21. The globalization that occurred post-World War II has made it possible now to inflict another Holodomor, but on a global scale. If all this sounds familiar, that's because it is happening all over again, except this time on a global scale. Back in the 1930s, globalization was not yet a thing, which kept the Holodomor confined mostly in Ukraine. Today, global trade has become the glue that holds together life as we currently know it, without which billions will starve. The Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic, coupled with the war in Ukraine and financial chicanery, has greased the skids for a worldwide Holodomor-type genocide event. What we are seeing transpire within the targeting of carbon, nitrogen, and other food-growing nutrients is part of that. Folks, you need to go to the article. It's called Thinked Engineered Famine Could Never Happen. Learn the story of Voldemort as history repeats itself. It came out September the 6th. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This year by Ethan Huff. H-U-F-F. And read the whole article for yourself. Okay, here we go. This is very serious. BU has now created a new SARS-CoV-2 strain that is 80% fatal. By combining the spike protein from Omicron to the original Wuhan strain, researchers at BU produced a new strain of COVID that is 80% deadly. Yes, you heard me right. Your tax dollars at work. What you can do is you can Google Steve Koresh. He's a personal friend of mine. He's been on a guest on a couple of my shows in the last year. His last name is K-I-R-S-C-H. For those of you who've been in the military, that's Kilo, India, Romeo, Sierra, Charlie Hotel, Steve Koresh. And this article came out October 18th. And it says, however, if history is any guide, he says, I'm sure members of Congress, with the exception of Senators Ron Johnson and Rand Paul, will undoubtedly want to keep funding this research and keeping Fauci in charge because they don't want to be labeled as anti-scientist. That's another reason we need to reelect Senator Ron Johnson and ensure the Republicans control the Senate, folks. So you can go and find his articles. Boston Lab is making a brand new deadly COVID strain. Scientists have removed the spike from Omicron. They attached to its original Wuhan strain. The virus then, mice were infected with a hybrid COVID, and then the virus killed 80% of the rodents. This is a very highly contagious respiratory virus with 80% case fatality rate, and it seems like a really bad idea, folks. I'll tell you what they're messing around with. We already spoke briefly about the crisis in Pennsylvania right now. Biden is now politicizing the FBI, and he's hiding the Chinese infiltration of the U.S. election software, which is crucial to the midterms approach. Folks, I mean, this is really serious stuff we have going on here. Okay, and there's so much we need to be covering as well. USDA is airdropping vaccines from helicopters across 13 states using vaccine bait, which is deemed hazardous if ingested. They say that it's called, program is called Bye Bye Blackbird. It's just one of many mass extermination programs being run by the USDA. Another program involves the USDA mass murdering foxes, coyotes, bears, mountain lions, bobcats, and river otters. And Natural News and Brighton.com, they reported this in 2018. In 2018, the USDA was also caught murdering hundreds of kittens in incineration ovens as part of a medical experimentation operation. It has been experimenting, quote, on kittens by feeding them parasite-riddled raw meat for 2 to 3 weeks so their feces could be collected. Then they're killed alive via incineration. At the end of the study, Bishop says, is that the USDA admitted that the baby animals were healthy. Congressman Mike Bishop had sounded off on the USDA's kitten murder practice, saying, quote, I'm shocked and disturbed that for decades, the USDA, the very organization charged with enforcing animal welfare laws, has been unnecessarily killing hundreds of kittens in expensive and inefficient lab experiments. Any government research program like this one by the USDA that's been funded since the Nixon administration needs to be put under the microscope, especially when it involves using kittens as disposable test tubes and harmful tests that most taxpayers oppose. The USDA, in other words, is slaughtering millions of animals a year and runs cruel medical experiments on kittens, among other animals. This is the same USDA that conspires with pesticide manufacturers to poison the human food supply with synthetic chemicals, including herbicides like atrazine that are known as chemical castrators that alter human hormone expression. Now, the same agency is airdropping edible vaccines across 13 states, claiming to be controlling raccoons and rabies. But the bait is so dangerous, it's never supposed to be ingested. The USDA is using a fleet of helicopters to mass poison the landscape with rabies vaccines that are disguised as food. According to the Associated Press, via thedailypress.com, the USDA is now airdropping millions of packets of oral rabies vaccines across 13 U.S. states. Among those states is included Alabama, Maine, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia, and Tennessee. The USDA is admitting these rabies vaccines are embedded in food bits that are currently flavored with fish meal. This will, of course, encourage all sorts of wildlife to eat the vaccine traps, causing unknown consequences on wildlife animals that obviously will ingest the tainted treats. Your domestic dogs and cats can also stumble across the tainted food that bits and ingests them, causing involuntary vaccination against rabies, which can kill your pets. Although rare, death is one of the side effects of the rabies vaccinations. Note carefully that the USDA is in the business of exterminating animals, so when they drop the bait from helicopters laced with potentially harmful or even deadly rabies vaccine ingredients, it is not difficult to realize the real motivation of this program. They want to kill off most of our wildlife, so we can't be hunting. We can't be fishing. There goes more of our food sources, folks. This is not the first time the U.S. government has unleashed biological warfare specimens into the wild either. Although fact checkers are vehemently denying this accusation, yeah, right, many people believe the U.S. government engineered and released Lyme disease as a biological weapon. More recently, it is now exhaustively documented that the U.S. Army helped engineer SARS-CoV-2 and then handed the bioweapon to China's Wuhan labs for the final gain-of-function enhancement. Even mainstream medical journals such as The Lancet now admit the lab origins of COVID are a likely explanation. This turned out to be a global depopulation and infertility weapon, which has unleashed unprecedented havoc across the world, enticing people to be injected with yet another biological weapon. The mRNA COVID vaccine, which I call is not a vaccine, it's an inoculation, quote, that's killing human beings by the millions all over the world, unquote. And folks, you know it's being suppressed by 99% of our news media. Folks, this is Maggie Rose. I'll be back on Monday with The Edge of Darkness, Jeffrey Bennett's Edge of Darkness. I'll see you on Monday, same station, here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Do you think we have time? These are the days of the open hand. We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past, hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure if we have a too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. Wounded skies above say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do-do-do-do. Do you think we have Do you think we have time? These are the days I'll be.
to what she can. Charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chance and say I sang it 20 years and a day. There's nothing changed, the human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus has so much to hate. Hanging on to a wall, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Do you think we have time? Do you think we have time? Lord, give us time.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.